Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah.
You better say hi to me.
Say hi to. Come on, chill out, man.
Chill out, man. I love you. Thank you so much. I love you too.
He loves me.
He said it. He said his name. He said Danica.
Monica.
We're watching Chill Out Man live on Twitch.
Chill Out Man. There's nothing chill about this.
No, there's nothing chill about it.
Well, he's not playing any songs right now. He has a whole list of songs he'll play. Anyway, you could do this, Scott.
Right, I could do this. So this is what people are saying you should be on Twitch, you should be podcasting. Now, what is the appeal of this? And what is this guy doing with his life, is what I wonder.
Entertaining us, Scott.
This is entertaining?
I'm entertained.
Aren't there, like, hundreds and hundreds of good movies you haven't seen yet?
Yeah, so this is the dilemma about modernity, though, Scott.
Podcast to listen to.
Let's
do an intro. Go ahead.
What's good, Internet? I'm Austin Walker. Welcome to Waypoint Radio, episode 117. Joined by Danica Herod, whose name I said correctly.
Thank you. Scott inspired you to say it correctly.
He did. Like Herod's of London.
That's literally how she introduced it to me. And I said, what did I say? I said Danica Herod?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
For months. Yeah.
For months.
Joined by special guest Scott Rogowski.
Hello. AKA the Trapped Rebecca.
AKA the Semitic Sajak. AKA the Bad and Bougie Barker. AKA Meshuggah to Martindale. AKA the Woke Woolery.
What was the one that
AKA
I had?
AKA Regis Trilbin.
Can you do the
Regis
one that Trilbin's you don't good. Use anymore that we really
AKA
like?
AKA Scott the Thought Rogowski.
Thought Rogowski is extremely good.
You can find me on Thought Catalog. writing my daily thoughts at Thought Catalog.
I'm so mad. I'm not actually.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good.
You're a little mad?
I'm a little mad. It's good.
So we don't have the usual, you don't see our mics here because our mic cabinet has been barricaded.
Yeah. It turns out we're not allowed to have microphones anymore.
You'll get your audio straight from the Twitch stream. Ideal audio. Great sound. So we just streamed a video game. What did you think about Fibbage?
It was fun. It's unlike cribbage, which I liked because I don't like cribbage. Mm. But I liked Fibbage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was, it reminded me a little bit of apples to apples, kind of like trying to fool your friends, come up with the best lie.
Yeah.
Interactivity, Cookie Masterson.
Yes.
Your new
Tom Gottlieb.
My new
waypoint.
Right. In
is
life.
Now, in life is now Tom Gottlieb's career.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is the first time you've played a video game in?
Probably, since GoldenEye.
Okay.
When did that come out?
Okay, you also played GoldenEye. You didn't tell us
that.
Friends would have GoldenEye, you know. I never had a PSP, an Xbox, an N64, mm-hmm. and anything. Mm. No Nintendo systems. I had a Sega Genesis from probably 95 to 98, in that era.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, I wanted the Sega CD so bad, couldn't get that.
Was that what it was?
The Sega Saturn.
Saturn, and then that was it. You fell off games.
Exactly. My parents weren't going to buy me this stuff, but Nikki Fugazi had the Sega Saturn. Carrie Nadell had the Duck Hunt.
Right,
Scott Goldblatt had the SNES.
How most of us got into wanting games was
our friends who had some shit that we did not have. But now you are... for me, one of the biggest figures in gaming in 2017, the host of HQ Trivia, an app where people can play trivia for real money.
Real money, yeah.
Twice a day.
Right. You can download it for free in the App Store.
Only on the App Store. Android users.
It's coming soon.
I've heard it. I keep hearing it.
But, the App Store for now. And, every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern, every night of the week, 7 days a week, and every weekday, 3 p.m. Eastern.
3 p.m., which means like today.
So you're going today.
Well, today I'm actually driving to Boston for a wedding.
Okay. Oh,
so all right. Someone else is on.
Someone else is on. So Sharon's going to be hosting.
Sharon's good.
Yeah, she's good.
I like Sharon.
Yes.
There's some debate about who the best HQ host is. Yeah.
There's no debate.
Actually, that's true. There's no debate.
You can debate.
There's maybe debates for who's second.
That's
best.
What I'm saying.
Look, yeah. People love Sharon. Sharon's great. I like Sharon.
Yeah,
Sharon.
I like Sharon a lot.
They're all great.
What's amazing to me is, and it shouldn't have been amazing to me, because like we do stuff on camera and we deal with the notion that like, oh, it's actually kind of hard to be on camera, but when you're not there, it's like, oh, this show is different. Like, the show has a completely different vibe. And I think when you just play for the first time, you're like, oh, he's just being himself. It's like, no, he's actually, like, being a fucking host. Had you done hosting before HQ Trivia?
I've been hosting a talk show.
Right.
In one form or another for the past 8 years, 9 years.
Tell us about that show. What's
2008, that show? I started doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. Although I thought it'd be funny if I started doing like open mics for trivia hosting. If I just like, you know, went to open mic and be like, hey, I've just got some questions I want to ask you guys. And I worked my way through the open mic ranks.
Yeah.
But no,
and then you get tips and then you distribute those tips to the winners.
Just clap if you think it's answer A.
Yeah.
No, I started doing stand up in college and then moved to the city after college doing stand up.
Where did you do college?
Where?
Yeah.
Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. Awesome. Baltimore. The Moes are playing. Oh, yeah. You never been to Baltimore, hon? Never had Burger Cookies and Natty Bow?
Is this a Baltimore accent?
It's a Baltimore accent, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, shoot.
From what year?
Ravens.
What year Baltimore
them Ravens
is this?
Are playing in Maryland.
This is college Baltimore.
Oh, college.
Baltimore,
this is, no, this is like real Baltimore.
Okay.
This is like, you know, Catonsville.
Okay.
Timonium.
The 13 people from Baltimore listening.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you've nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
This is a charm city, baby.
So is that when you started doing stand-up?
Started doing stand-up. I took an intercession course in the college. There was this thing. They have an option. I was really depressed sophomore year.
Fair. Yes, like you fucking same everybody.
Sophomore year is rough. Yep. I know I got mono to start the year.
Oof.
And not from a good situation?
I don't know how. Probably just like a frat basement, just breathing in the fumes.
Yeah.
And then it was a really bad winter, just, you know, seasonal affective disorder kicking in. And I was like, what am I doing? I want to go to culinary school. You know? That's what I wanted to do. I was like, I like to cook. I like food. I'll go to culinary. It's a great skill to have for your life, whether you do it professionally
or
not. So, and I was like, what am I learning at Hopkins? You know, statistics?
Was that what were you majoring in?
Political science.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
But I had to take statistics.
Yeah,
it really bothered me.
Yeah.
Anyway, this intercession course happened. And it was like a 3-week course on stand-up comedy. The class was stand-up comedy and society. It was taught by a grad student named Adam Rubin, who had been doing, you know, comedy in D.C. Mm-hmm. And we showed George Carlin clips and Richard Belzer, you know, old stand-up clips. And he kind of made us workshop our own material. And the final project was 5 minutes of material in front of, you know, an audience. He advertised across school. And this was, you know, January 28, 2005. And people were still not quite back on campus, but enough were... And they were like, we got nothing to do. Mm-hmm. 350 people packed into this small room.
Ooh.
For my first show ever.
Was it your first time being
first
like
time
on a stage in front of anybody?
I was student body president in high school.
Okay.
Oh. All
right.
Which I won on the strength of my funny speeches. That's like my proto stand-up career.
You didn't have a platform. What you had was jokes.
I had jokes. I never did governing council or student. You know, and I beat out all the nerds who were like, I've been student president, class president for 4 years, treasurer, secretary, you know? Mm-hmm, and all these guys were like, you know, going to Harvard and...
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, here's a Beanie Baby. And then I like threw at the, you know, I like throw Beanie Babies out in the
crowd. High school material needs a little work sometimes, but.
Whatever. So, my line was, you can go to Lee's Chinese, which was like the local Chinese place, and order chicken lo mein, beef and broccoli, and dumplings. And in 10 minutes, it'll be ready for you. I said, if Lee's Chinese can accomplish that in 10 minutes, just imagine what I can do in 1 year. As student body president.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Scott would have won.
Same, yeah.
You know?
Scott would have won.
And I did. So that was like my proto stand-up career. And then in college, I did the stand-up class. And people after that show, people were like, oh my God, have you done this before? Mm-hmm. I was like, no. They're like, you should do this. Strangers were like, you should do this. And I was like, really? And I thought, okay, maybe I'll try. So I tried at an open mic 2 weeks later in D.C.
Same material,
bombed. Okay. Completely bombed. Because of this coffee shop, no one was listening. But I learned my first lesson. It's all about audiences, you know. Right. Seinfeld would say in Comedian, he's like, it's not about the audience. It's about you. And it's like, dude.
Bullshit.
No, it's
how would Seinfeld say? For Seinfeld, of course, because at this point, every audience is going to love
audience.
It.
Yeah.
But no, when you're starting out and you're nobody, it's 300 kids who are also your classmates.
Right.
Whooping it up, laughing at your immature jokes versus like 40 disinterested coffee shop right, on their computers, not barely listening. Yeah, there's going to be a difference there, Jerry Seinfeld. The material is exactly the same.
You should just switch with him. Have him come do the coffee shop and see how his stuff
is. Yeah, in like Kazakhstan or something. They don't know who he is.
They have no idea who he is. They know who he is in Kazakhstan.
They know who he is everywhere. Burma? Burma? Where do you have to go? Like a military junta? Where's there like a...
I feel like this is the thing. It's like America got real good at selling stuff everywhere, right. including... Yes. And Seinfeld sells well.
North Korea probably would sell out in North Korea, Pyongyang. Yeah.
That would be a great special, Seinfeld and Pyongyang.
Yeah.
I'd just put it up on Netflix. We'll see if Netflix can
like
make it
Billy
happen.
Like Billy Crystal and the Soviet Union.
They could make it
they
happen.
They could make anything happen.
So anyway, so I was, yeah, I was in 2008, I pivoted to talk shows. Mm-hmm. Before people pivoted to video, I pivoted to talk shows and started...
What was the...
Because I was like, I just was getting tired of standing up. I wanted to just take
a seat.
And,
good reason.
You prefer to sit down and
talk. I prefer to sit down. I know, this is my favorite thing, sitting down, talking to people, interacting.
Well, you're standing twice a day to talk
I know. It takes a lot off my knees here. Yep. But no, so I there was a sports comedy talk show called 12 Angry Mascots.
Okay.
That I found this guy, Neil Janowitz, worked at ESPN The Magazine. We sort of combined his sports contacts with my comedy contacts, and we booked comedians, we booked athletes, and we had sports sketches, and we did that for 3 years. At the Pit, Comics Comedy Club, UCB's where our first show was, which just closed, UCB Chelsea.
Yeah.
And anyway, that ran its course after 3 years, and then I started Running Late with Scott Rogowski in October 2011, and that's still going. I mean, I wouldn't say it's going as strong as it was, just because I haven't done a show since September.
Mm-hmm.
And
you need to do those for it to keep happening.
We're sort of on an HQ hiatus, I have to book more shows. Right? I have to book more Running Late shows, which I haven't done yet. But no, I'm sure I can find a night off or two to do Running Late.
And you'd probably get a bit more people.
Yeah. Well, now. It's funny.
Your household name at this point.
In November, I booked a different type of show. It was just a stand-up show. We called it Scott Rogowski and Acquaintances.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just decided, let me see if I can get some stand-up friends of mine to do a stand-up showcase. And I hosted it, ran back to do HQ, and then ran back to the show to close it out just to say goodbye to everybody. But during the intro, when I did my 10 minutes, I was like, so I did this thing called HQ, and people were like, whooping it. So I guess they were HQ fans then, and this was a month ago.
Yeah. And it's been a big month. You were
it's
just
been
on.
It's been a big month.
It's been a big month.
Good Morning America on Tuesday.
Monday? It was sometime this week.
It was Tuesday, I think.
The days are boring.
Hang on, today's Friday.
How's that?
Maybe it was Wednesday.
How's that feeling? How does it feel?
It was the day Matt Lauer broke that thing. So it was a good thing I wasn't doing today's show.
Yeah, right.
Although I could have been a trivia question. Who's Matt Lauer's last interview? Could have been me.
It could have been you. It could have been a trivia question.
Could have been me.
Fuck. What's it been like going from doing like talk shows and stand up to being like a household name and being on TV?
Yeah, I mean, is it TV? I don't know what you call this. It's not TV. It's not HBO. It's not delivery. It's not DiGiorno.
It's HQ.
It's HQ. That's our very long.
That's on the next sweatshirt. Well, the thing that's interesting about it, and credit goes to a friend of the show, Brad Shoemaker over at Giant Bomb, for pointing this out, that in a time where no one tunes in to watch things at the same time, HQ trivia is destination television.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone at specific times picks up their phone and says, I want to do this along with everybody else.
Yes.
And partially because it's live and partially because it's like collective like that.
You have to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
And it harkens back to the way we used to consume media, which was, people watching this probably don't remember a time before DVR. But, you had to get the TV guide.
Yep.
Oh, you want to see this movie? There's no VCRs even back, really going back. You had to be in front of your TV watching Johnny Carson, MASH. Right.
People do record the show and put it up on YouTube.
I don't know if you've seen this.
Wait, with TV shows now?
No, with HQ.
With HQ. Oh, I've seen that.
But there should be, I think the lawyers are on the... I don't know.
No, but like, isn't that...
We understand that because there's some Waypoint channels.
Yeah, of course, always. But is that like one of those things where... For you, it's just like, I show up and I do jokes and I read some questions, and that's just like my job.
I almost prefer if they didn't get archived, because it's like, I kind of like the fact that it's there and gone, like, Snapchat.
Right.
I mean, and then if I tell a bad joke, no one's gonna know.
Someone write that headline is like Jeopardy for the Snapchat generation, right? Like, that's the easy dunk on what HQ is.
Right.
Put that in the headline chat.
For the avocado toast generation.
Right, exactly, for us, for millennials.
Mm-hmm. So what's it been like, though, just getting noticed and known by more people? People see you and they're like, that's Scott. Yeah. I got to talk to him.
People shout, Yo,
Someone
Rogo.
Someone stopped me in the bathroom and they're like, you got Scott? I want to meet him. you know. I mean, it's, you know, what is that like?
It's not happening as much as maybe people think. I think, like, in certain offices, yes, if I come to Vice, people are going to recognize me walking around. But, you know, and then again, last night at dinner, these two guys next to me, I was like, oh, I just, you know, just banging chat. I'm like, oh, that looks good. This guy ordered French toast. This guy ordered French toast at 10 o'clock. And I'm
that
like,
sounds great. That's the way, that's
goals,
life.
Yeah, yeah,
frankly.
Breakfast, I'm like, every meal.
That looks good. He's like, yeah. By the way, huge fan. And I'm like, and I was like, of what?
French toast?
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Huge like, fan. HQ? I mean, still, it's still hard to, like, but no, it's very cool. It's very flattering. You know, I had this viral video a couple years ago, this book covers on the subway
thing. We've seen it. Yeah.
That was the first introduction to being known on a wider scale, because I was getting recognized from that.
I bet, and those have increased in views like a ton, right? Like especially like the with the ass eating one.
The ass eating one has done well.
Yeah, for you. It's done very well for me in every aspect of my life.
Yeah, it's good to put yourself out there. Let people
I'm
know.
Out there. People know.
People know you're studious. Like that's really what I think is important about that. Is it takes work and knowledge, and you're committed. Obviously, with HQ, we already knew you were committed to knowledge, but it's good to know that you're putting in the work to understand ass eating also.
Okay, I've done my research. Okay. You do yours.
That's exactly it. That's the third shirt.
Right.
But not on Google. It says underneath that. Don't do it on Google in the middle of my fucking show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I guess the other one for me is like this isn't just like Destination Trivia TV. It's also Destination Trivia TV in 2017, while it feels like the world is falling apart. Mm-hmm. Michael Flynn just pled guilty to a crime and what might be, should be, hopefully is a plea deal.
The first Jenga block.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep it on games.
By the way, who's dropping all these shoes?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
Where did that phrase come from?
It's a big man in the sky.
Yeah.
Just plop.
I mean, they're only two shoes.
So, no, how many can you have drop? More than two shoes?
When the other shoe drops?
You put on a different
unless
shoe.
Unless you're like a shoe clerk and you're holding a whole bunch of shoes.
I just think you someone with a nice shoe closet. Someone
they're
who's
like hanging
like,
on a, yeah, hanging like a, on shoe a cable rack. Outside, actually.
Oh, that's actually true. They threw them up there. Yep. They jacked you for your shoes, threw them up there, and now they're falling off the
right.
cables.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you are this weird, bubbly, bright voice every day in the middle of the world being on fire. Do you ever think about that? Does that ever...
You know,
we
try to keep it nonpartisan. We try to keep it, you know, yes, because we want it to be, not necessarily an escape, but I guess it is like a respite, refuge from all the craziness going on. And it's what's really the most amazing thing about the HQ response has been seeing the community that we've built, just completely organically, seeing offices playing together, classrooms stopping to play, soccer teams, you know, people video now, you know, them winning the game and sending it to us on Twitter. We're seeing families on Thanksgiving, you know, children, young adults, parents, grandparents, everyone playing together. Right. It's what the internet was intended for, right? Well, John Perry Barlow, all these like computer theorists, like the internet, you know, we're going to bring people together. This utopian thing on the web.
Right.
And of course, it went the complete other way.
Right.
Great, hate groups can get together and like the white nationalists can. No, but we're bringing good.
And you let us
people.
Swipe left to hide chat if we
need
to.
And if you want it right. Because,
just so you know.
But like it's strengthening friendships, work relationships, I think, you know, team building. I mean, actually, some people are saying we're actually making this an official policy. We want the office playing together because it, you
it's
know.
It's like a little break.
It takes a break. And oh, I'm going to get to know the person who works on the side of the office. And we're all.
Right.
Most offices are quiet.
Wait, okay, here's a question. I'm going to get into some fucking rules lawyering. You say don't Google, but if we're playing together, can we collaborate on
of
answers?
Of course.
So that's allowed.
That's allowed. Use the Google in your head.
Okay.
Use your Google net. That's it. Networking. Build those networks. That get the more brains.
All right,
the
what
better.
If we're in a group chat though? Can we collaborate in a group chat?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So
no,
all that's against the
rules. I can't
rules.
Dictate what you do. You can do whatever you want.
You're wearing a shirt that says I don't Google.
Yeah.
You're trying
he's
to legislate.
Setting an example. Okay.
Okay. We're trying to just spread the word that you know.
Thank you for good cop bad copping this.
He's
with
not
me.
Saying it. He's not telling you to your face.
Right.
I don't Google. But he's.
But
know,
he's wearing
letting
a propagandistic.
Let me ask you this question. Since I can't play the game, which is my greatest shame, but you guys can play. So, what is the sense in Googling? Can I like are you playing to win the money, or are you playing to test your knowledge, or are you playing because you're entertained?
I see what you're saying.
Like, you know what? That's a really great question.
What is the point of Googling if it's just to win the money? Okay.
Who cares?
But is that fun? Just to
having money can be fun. Yes, yeah. Scott.
Yeah. I think for me in the beginning it was, I was only playing for the money because we were playing, like we've been playing since the beginning. Shout out Casey Malone who told us to play.
How many people were in the game when you started?
Like 1,000. It was
It was four digits. There were times we played under four digits,
see,
I think.
Yeah. Now this is the new hipster badge of honor.
Yeah. Right. Like,
when did you get into HQ?
I wish it had a date on it that knew so I could get that shirt with that inscribed.
If I got the name Gamer Girl, like I feel like I was in there pretty
you just
early.
Get the name
I got Gamer Girl.
Gamer Girl.
Yeah. I'm Gamer Girl. Yeah.
Shout out to Gamer Girl.
Yeah. Shout out to Woke Gamers.
Feel free to give me some extra lives, everybody watching. Thanks.
But that's cool. People like I was playing with there only 800 people.
Yeah. That's the new I grew up in Brooklyn.
Right, exactly. I think the reason that people Google, so for me, I can play the game in a bunch of different modes, and sometimes it's like 9 p.m. and I'm like eating dinner alone. I'm like, I just want to just answer a couple questions. It's a fun way to pass time, and I'm not going to look up anything there. But there are times when it's like, all right, this is $3,000. This is a big game. And then for me, the game switches because it isn't even about the money. I gamify how quick can I find the answer to this. And that becomes part of the challenge for me. Like people who followed me for a long time know that I have a great point of pride that I'm actually really good at Google because I used to have a job as a trademark researcher, which meant my job was like Googling to see things, find out who owned things really secretly. And so it's a fun challenge for me to be like, all right, this is a hard question to Google the answer for. There are questions that are like the one last night, I think it was, which was like, which of these members which of these musicians was in three different bands, right? It was two nights ago or something like that.
It was the final question.
It was the final question.
It was which musician was in Red Cross,
yes.
Bad Religion.
Right. And that's a tough question to Google for because they were all in one band together, all in Circle Jerks together. And so for me, it ends up being like, what's the best search term that I can find to get this answer?
That
is like this little sub-game that I'm playing occasionally.
And you could consider that a skill.
Right, for me it is
a talent.
Yeah, it is. It totally
so,
is.
So, you know, so would you say
so you're good at cheating?
I'm good at cheating.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's not the only way I play it. I do also like to play it with just like, we'll hang out.
Right.
And then like, we're all playing. And then it's like, oh no, I think it's Guam. Well,
I think it's
Spain.
We like to be in our chat group and be like, okay. And then we'll all lose and we're like, I'm out.
I'm out.
But then can I ask,
like, I'm out.
Is it really that easy to Google? I mean,
it's awful.
It's so hard.
It's awful.
Yeah, well,
Some of those questions are like, it
should be, right.
Yeah.
But you know, you have 10 seconds from when I start reading the questions.
You take your time.
Do you take slower sometimes on purpose for certain questions?
No.
Okay. Sometimes the questions are just long.
Yeah, sometimes they're long.
And you have 3 seconds.
And you have 3 seconds to listen to me, process the question, and then you have to decide, do you know it? Do you Google it? Yeah. So I don't even know how people Google it. I mean, I guess...
I haven't for the last, like, 10 times.
The last few times I haven't. But I like... Because I was at a restaurant when I did the one we just talked about. It's like, I wish I could Google this.
Right. I would posit that if you tried to Google it, and you wouldn't answer in time, you're going to get out, you're going to get eliminated quicker
100%.
Than just trying to maybe make an educated guess.
Totally.
So,
well, and those are my actual favorite questions are the ones where it's like, all right, I don't know what this answer is, but process of elimination, I know it's not this, I know it's not that.
Right.
Where it's like, the tree one yesterday or whatever, the longest measured whatever, blah,
blue
blah,
whale,
blah.
Giant sequoia, right. Supersaurus.
And the thing that I realized was the way the question was written was measured to be the longest. Right. You don't measure a supersaurus. So even if it is true, that a supersaurus is the longest, no one's measured a supersaurus.
Well, you can have skeletal remains.
It's not a supersaurus. It's a skeleton of a supersaurus.
Okay.
Anyway, that's why I get sequoia.
You're right.
And also,
supersaurus just sounds like a fake
thing.
It is a real.
Yeah.
It turns out to be a real dinosaur.
Bullshit dinosaur.
It's a real dinosaur, but supersaurus.
What are your favorite questions to ask? Like, do you ever get one where you're like, this is a bullshit question? Or ones where you're like, this is going to stop them. This is going to be savage.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we try to gradate them so it's easy to difficult. I like the ones where there's a bit of a story involved. Like the one there was a final question the other night was who was the first criminal to be apprehended with the use of wireless technology? Like how cool is that question?
Yeah, that's
so
a
like
very good
there's
question.
There's a real it's a there's a real guy who committed this murder. He murdered his wife in London and then he fled on this ocean liner to Canada with his mistress. Okay, so then and then Scotland Yard got wind of this.
And then
the captain of that ship recognized him. I guess they put out look for this man, this description, APB. The captain was within range to land as the boat was already in the water, but he was within range to have his telegrapher send the telegraph to Scotland Yard, the British authorities saying, I think this guy's on our boat. He's with a woman dressed like a boy.
Right.
And then the inspector took a White Star liner, a faster boat, first class, beat the other boat to Canada. If the guy took spent a little more money and went first class, he would have
got away.
But the inspector in first class caught up with a dude in the St. Lawrence Seaway, boarded the ship, arrested him. His name was Dr. Hawley Harvey Crippen for the win, baby!
Three names.
Oh, my
God. Dr. Crippen. It's always three names.
It's always three names. It's always three names.
HHC.
HHC is the original criminal, the original Wi-Fi criminal. That's a cool question.
And he, like,
I love those questions because that is the thing that's like, this isn't just trivia. This is knowledge, right?
Knowledge,
this is the
difference between it.
Right. There is like a, there's a story there that kind of puts you in a place and a time and makes you think about the way that technology has changed the world or that the world has changed over time. In general, I like that stuff. That's good. That's good.
And I like, obviously, the sports questions. I'm a sports guy.
No,
it's not the right audience for it.
We have a lot of sports fans.
We have a lot of sports fans. Sports are games.
Sports,
it turns
sports
out.
Are sports.
Like
sports
that's
are sports.
Sports
right.
are sports. Sports
exactly.
are games.
If you're a gamer, you have to appreciate sports. It's the first game.
That's how I feel. Like this is like I've had this discussion with a lot of people. One, we've talked about how like I want games journalism to look more like sports journalism because sports journalism is actually super good.
Yeah.
Often, not always, but often there's like really great like profile pieces.
Shout out David Halberstam.
There we go. And so then the other thing, though, is like sports, we get nerdy about shit in RPGs, like best character builds and like, you know, do I want to spec my guy to be fire damage or ice damage or whatever bullshit? That's not that different from like building, you know, a team in baseball or fantasy.
What about fantasy? Fantasy is really like the, that's the combo.
Right? No one should shit talk anybody. If you have a fantasy team and you're shit talking gamers or if you're shit talking gamers maybe, but if you're shit talking people who play games.
So what's the difference between a gamer and someone who plays games? Is this something, is this a touchy subject?
Use gamer as a derogatory kind of thing, I guess, against like the dark side of games. You know, there's kind of like a dark,
that
dark
whole gamer game. Like I'm so
you're so out of it.
It's bad. All you need to know is that it's bad.
What you need to know is that like it's there was a period at which it did feel like we were all gamers and together, and then what became very clear were there are people inside of the community of gamers that were like, no, a real gamer only does X, a real gamer only does Y, and like this is my identity, and then. There's another half of that group, another part of the group was like, ooh, maybe I don't want to be a gamer then. Maybe I just want to be someone who plays games, and that's totally chill. And then that
which, all... I think it's all blown... The whole gamer, what's a gamer, what's not a gamer, is totally blown out of proportion. I consider myself a gamer.
You're
like,
a gamer.
Whatever.
You are a gamer girl.
I tweeted
you
on my point last night. Girl. Where are the gamers at, you know?
You did do
and
that.
And some people were like, oh, no, they're not, they don't exist, they're not here. And other people were like, what's up?
What's up? Know? It's me. I'm the gamer.
Yeah.
I'm the woke gamer.
I am the woke gamer.
Do you know what woke... Are you up on woke Discord?
I'm up on
he
woke.
Wait, are you up on woke, or are you up on woke where it was like 2015?
Okay, maybe the 2015 woke. Okay. What's the new woke?
The woke versus progressive, like...
By the way, internet's
I'm
exhausted.
So tired. I
know. See,
you know what?
How can I be woke if I'm exhausted and out of sleep?
It's 2017.
Anyway, the woke gamer is kind of a joke about one of our teammates, Patrick, who played...
I was just blessed myself as if he died. He's fine.
He pretended to be this,
He does like the Bears, though, so... He's not a good year for him.
He pretended to be like a centrist guy who really liked video games, but was like, we got to see both sides, friends, you know?
Yeah. And maybe the Nazis make some good points. I don't know. Maybe we should have a game where we can see games from the Nazis.
But so that
Nazis.
So it was
that
that's sort of like those sort of like performative wokeness that falls apart and doesn't have.
Right.
And that's where I think woke gets used a lot these days.
Yeah.
This is all reminding me of my friend, the comedian Tony Zarrett. Shout out Tony Zarrett. Makes these hilarious Instagram parodies of memes and things. And he'll make these ridiculous memes like, a real gamer only eats fresh radishes.
That's extremely good. That's like, so good.
They're ridiculous and so funny.
I was like, is he going to say Doritos? No, he's going to say the absolute opposite.
Yeah, like, it's just some absurd,
It's good,
and the meme looks...
What is, like, let's talk about comedy a little bit. Yeah. We have a little bit of time left, but like, who's working for you right now in comedy? Who are your favorite comedians out there? Who are people that our audience should look into, pay attention to?
There's just one name above all. Andy Kindler.
Okay.
Andy Kindler. Are you familiar with Andy Kindler?
I'm not.
He's just, you know, he's an older gentleman in the comedy scene. He's been doing it for 30 something years. I just saw him in Brooklyn last week at the Union Hall. To me, hands down, the funniest guy. Just because he deconstructs the whole stand-up comedy thing. He makes fun of himself constantly and makes fun of the whole... He's famous for doing these yearly State of the Union, State of the Industry addresses at Just for Laughs, which is the big comedy festival in Montreal, where he just rips on Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, you know, everybody, Louis C.K.
It's going to be a rough year.
Yeah, Louis C.K. He was on Louis C.K. like 4 or 5 years ago. He was, you know, on the ground floor of that. But it's just, it kind of speaks for all the little guys in comedy. He's sort of the mouthpiece for all of us. And I mean, Jonathan Katz, another classic, Dr. Katz.
Yep.
You know, I kind of have the, you know, I love the, I guess the older generation of stand-ups. But then currently, I mean, John Mulaney, I find hilarious. Nick Kroll, the Sklar brothers are some of my favorites. I get to work with them a lot. You know, there's so many.
Who would you like
David
to work
Tell?
With? Yeah, well, again, classic. Yeah. Who would you love to work with that you haven't had a chance to work with yet, besides Carson Daly?
I mean, yeah, Carson Daly, who just followed me on Twitter last night.
This is where you're at. I love
TLC
this so much.
Himself.
I love this so much because for a lot of the people in our audience, you're a bigger celebrity than Carson Daly is at this point.
Yeah, but people care more about you than
but
Carson.
But I know.
I'm turning 58 on Monday.
Right.
Carson
you look
Daly.
Great,
I grew up watching Carson Daly.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Looking great for 58.
No, but Carson
I have a card for
college
you.
In 2005.
College in 2005.
Okay.
Listen.
Look, I was held back a lot.
Okay,
right?
A lot. All right, yeah.
He wasn't allowed to have video games because he had such bad grades.
I had Atari.
Right. Pong.
Yeah.
That's why he likes sports. Right. He was around for the first Olympics.
Actually, Scott Goldblatt did have Atari before any of this stuff. He was one of the early ones. What was the game that you swing on the, and there's like a jungle man and the
Donkey
alligator?
Kong.
Not Donkey
Kong. Oh, Pitfall.
Pitfall.
Oh, Pitfall's a great game.
Pitfall. Yes.
I played Pitfall. That was probably the first video game I ever played. But no, getting back to Cal, who do I want to work with? I mean, all those names I mentioned. I mean, yeah. they're you know, thankfully, with my Running Late show, right. I hosted a show called Running Late. I brought it to L.A. I was able to have Andy Kindle on the show, had the Sklar brothers, Reggie Watts, Weird Al Yankovic, I mean, hero.
Right.
You know, Ben Schwartz.
Would you ever do music comedy? Would you ever do...
Oh, a parody song.
I would love to. I mean, let's get quizzical. And then, you know,
there's hey, one more time. What's the rest of that
let's
line?
Get quizzical. I have to figure out the rest of the song.
Okay, okay, but you got that. But you got the hook, is that?
And then there's another song I was thinking about the other night. I'm always coming up with parody songs. This has nothing to do with quizzes, but I was just... I just want to vape with somebody. I just want to smokey cigs with somebody.
Oh, that's actually good.
Oh, yeah, my grandma would like that
I want to vape with somebody. Just somebody to blow flavored steam with.
It's good. Do you vape?
No.
Okay. How do you vape?
Never. Okay. I just find vaping hilarious.
My grandma loves e-cigs, so she would probably enjoy that
That's
song
the best demographic for me of vapors. Like, my stepmom vapes because she tried to quit cigarettes.
Yep.
And, like...
Yep.
Oma that's
too.
The fucking Oma best. Too. Like, I love people who are 50 or older who are smoking e-cigarettes.
That's amazing.
Especially if they light up at the end like a fucking future Blade Runner cigarette. It's the
that's
best.
That's Oma's blue.
Well, we're still
end.
Talking about comedy heroes. I mean, yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Tom Sharpling, John Worster, The Best Show, which is a podcast radio show I listened to for many, many years. Sharpling and Worster are the funniest guys ever. And Tom Sharpling has a character he just started called the Vape Ventriloquist. Billy, the vape dummy. He's got a dummy that vapes, and he's vaping.
Did he build it himself? Did he?
Yeah, he built this thing out.
So
he vapes, and the dummy, you know, all the jokes about vaping.
Okay,
perfect.
It
is. We'll look it up.
Very with the times.
Yeah, people,
are vaping.
Is just
vaping
crossing
is funny.
Over.
Vaping is still funny.
My favorite thing is still vape stores because they all have the worst names.
Yes. Yeah. And all the people standing in front vaping, those kind of like
advertisements. So I'm actually not mad at them. I'd hang out. If I was like 19, I would definitely hang out in front of a vape store. That's definitely where my life would be.
My theory is all these vape stores are just like staking out the real estate for when weed is legalized.
Totally.
And then boom,
they
got it.
Like in Seattle, every corner there's a weed shop.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Colorado recently, they're all just, you know, vape and weed. It just becomes one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
So before we let you go, thank you. Thank you for that. We brought new terminology into the world. New jargon exists now. If someone wanted to get into stand-up comedy, if someone wanted to get into hosting, like, besides taking this one specific course at Johns Hopkins, how do you? What do? How do you do it?
You don't.
Okay.
You just don't. Do
are you? Are you in that club
better off
like,
going to video games?
No, they
no,
are
you're
fucking not.
We tell people the, same thing when they ask us. We're
like,
you
are
don't.
You, sure?
you just don't. You know.
No, but hey,
let's say you're talking to somebody who's like, I know the statistics. It's bad. Yeah. I know I have a low chance of success. I know. But I have this fucking sickness in me. I want to get on stage and tell jokes.
Yeah.
I want to be funny. I want to, like, this is what I have to, and I don't want to do it. I have to do it. It's the only thing that makes me happy.
Then you just
what
do,
do
it.
You do?
You just do it. I mean, I had a guy email me a couple weeks ago. He's the brother of a guy who was in my sister's class. So didn't really know his brother and didn't know him at all. He's much younger than me. He's like, listen, I've always wanted to be a game show host. My bar mitzvah theme was game shows. I'm obsessed with the game show network, Buzzer Network.
Right.
I love game shows. Can we meet up? Can we get a coffee? I said, all right, yeah, we'll get a coffee. Got a coffee with him. And I'm like, so you know, you love game shows. That's cool. Like, have you ever hosted anything? No. All right, well, you want to host game shows, you should probably host something.
Right.
You know, you do it now while you can. I said, go to an open mic. I mean, have you ever done stand-up? No. I said, well, these days they kind of look at stand-ups, comedians, improvisers as hosts.
Mm-hmm.
So either do improv, do stand-up, or, you know, I don't know, start your own public access game show. I mean,
make
you have
YouTube.
To just
Make a YouTube. Public access YouTube.
But you got whatever
Twitch.
It is.
Get on Twitch.
Twitch. You sure. Twitch. Chill out, Steve.
Chill out, man.
Chill out, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Our favorite. Chill out, man. Trill out, man. Awesome.
Trill out, man is way
another,
better.
Another AKA,
way
Trill out,
better.
Man.
If I reference Chill out, man on HQ, will anyone understand it?
No. But they will all go to his channel and make
him
very
happy. More viewers than we
have. Yeah, absolutely.
But you gotta do it.
Can I give you a new AKA? Can I offer
absolutely.
You? Do you know what Slauson Avenue is in LA? It's a very important
Slauson.
Slauson. Yeah, it's very
I've
important.
Heard of Slauson.
It's a very important avenue in hip hop.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna knight you. Richard Slauson.
Richard Slauson.
Richard Dawson Slauson Avenue.
Richard Slauson,
that is really
okay.
deep cut. You gotta go.
Cut.
Richard Dawson, you gotta know Slauson Avenue.
Yeah, but let me tell you, if you're one of the eight people who knows it, that shit plays. Jeff Gerstmann laughed at it. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, that's all you gotta
say. That's all. It's me and Jeff.
If Gerstmann finds it funny.
That's it. Thank you so much for coming on, Scott. We're gonna let you go to this wedding.
Yeah.
This isn't your wedding, right?
It's not my wedding. No, my buddy Rob Rogers. Shout out to Rob and Rachel getting married.
Woo, congrats.
Tonight, tomorrow.
They're watching for sure.
They're definitely watching. Nothing else going on.
Is it in the world today? No. Everybody's watching Waypoint. Yeah. That's it.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, at HQ Trivia, if you want to play HQ every day, 3 p.m. night, 9 p.m. Eastern, download it for free, HQ in the App Store. And if you want to find me, I'm at Scott Rogowski on Twitter,
ROGOWSKY,
because I love you.
Oh, good.
And on Instagram, I have a Running Late at Instagram, Running Late Show at Instagram, but also at Trap Trebek on Instagram.
And if you're at Scott Rogowski on Instagram,
give it up.
Apparently someone's
just
squatting on Scott Rogowski.
Just trade it.
I'm working on
it. It might be past Scott Rogowski who's squatting on it.
Could also be me from 4 years ago. But Trap Trebek works.
It's good. Shout out to Cardi B, of course.
Shout out to Cardi B for Trap Trebek.
And shout outs to Bowen for letting us use his track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine as our theme song. You can find out more about that at waypoint.zone. Danica, where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet at Danica Herod.
You can find me at Austin_Walker.
They've already found you guys. Are you kidding?
Hey, listen. No, your fans. Your fans are listening.
Oh, yeah, right. Your fans. Listen
to me. Find out about the truth about Scott.
We got to borrow some of your fans.
My fans are so different from your fans. You got them into HQ.
But you other groups. We talked about this.
Okay.
We talked about how, like, the Jenna Marbles and the Brunts other internet people have
Give us
their
those YouTuber fans.
Give us those YouTuber fans. YouTube.com/WaypointVice.
Wow.
I got there
eventually. Twitter.com/Waypoint. Facebook.com/WaypointVice. You know what
Twitch.tv/Waypoint to watch interviews like this and watch us play video games.
You know what it dot biz.
That is one of our... we may have given that away.
Discourse.zone for the forums.
Discourse.zone for the forums. We have a lot of URLs.
Haunted.domains to see all of our URLs.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday for more video games.
And we'll make sure we say happy birthday to you on Monday.
Oh,
just
nice.
We'll just be like, happy 58th birthday.
Are you working?
I'm going to
well,
do
feel free to
Can
come back on.
Hat?
Maybe.
Get a birthday candle cake?
Maybe we'll have something figured out for them.
They'll have stuff.
They better. All right, and you will not be on tonight, but everyone should play tonight.
Play today at 3 p.m., 9 p.m. Sharon.
Fucking nice to Sharon.
Sharon's my favorite host.
Sharon's great.
Sharon's
great.
Sharon's my favorite host.
It's when you play. Yeah, totally. All right, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. Peace.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.